Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Sankarsana
Sankarsana
Karana
Karana
Kaya
Kaya
Shai
Shai
Garbhodha
Garbhodha
Shai
Shai
Cha
Cha
Hayobdhi
Hayobdhi
Shai
Shai
Sheshas
Sheshas
Cha
Cha
Yasyamsha
Yasyamsha
Kala
Kala
Sa
Sa
Nitya
Nitya
Nandakya
Nandakya
Rama
Rama
Saranam
Saranam
Namastu
Namastu
Sankarsana Karana Toya Shai
Sankarsana Karana Toya Shai
Garbhodha Shai Chahayopi Shai
Garbhodha Shai Chahayopi Shai
Sheshashaya Shyamsha Kalasa Nitya
Sheshashaya Shyamsha Kalasa Nitya
Nandakya Rama Sharanam Namastu
Nandakya Rama Sharanam Namastu
Sankarsana Karana Toya Shai Garbhodha Shai Chahayobdhi Shai Sheshashaya Syamsha Kalasa Nitya Nandakya Rama Sharanam Namastu Sangarshana Karana Toya Shai Garbhodha Shai Chapayobdi Shai Sheshashaya Syamsha Kalasa Nitya Nandakya Rama Sharanam Namastu Sankarsana Mahasankarsana
In the spiritual sky.
Karanatoya Shai
Karanatoya Shai
Karanoda Shai Vishnu
who lies in the causal ocean.
Garbha Uda Shai
Garbhodha Shai Vishnu
who lies in the Garbhodak
ocean
of the universe.
Cha
and Paya Abdi Shai Kirodakshay
Vishnu
who lies in the ocean of milk.
Shesha
Seshanad, the couch of Vishnu.
Cha
and
Yasya,
Yasya,
whose,
Amsha,
Amsha,
plenary portions,
Kala,
Kala, and parts of the plenary portions,
Sa,
Sa,
He,
Nityananda Akhya,
Nityananda Akhya,
known as Lord Nityananda, Rama,
Rama,
Lord Balaram. Sharanam,
Sharanam,
shelter.
Mama,
Mama,
my.
Hastu,
Hastu,
let there be.
Translation.
May Sri Nityananda Rama be the object of my constant remembrance. Sankarsana, Seshanag, and the Vishnus who lie on the Karana ocean, Garbha ocean, and the ocean of milk are his plenary portions and the portions of his plenary portions. That was in the first Adi Lila, in the seventh verse, chapter one. So this is from the chapter on Nityananda, expanding on that verse. This is 10. He executes the orders of Lord Krishna in the work of creation. In the form of Lord Sesha, he serves Krishna in various ways. Purport. According to expert opinion, Balarama, as the chief of the original quadruple forms, is also the original Sankarsana. Balaram, the first expansion of Krishna, expands himself in five forms. Mahasankarsana, Karanabdi Shai, Garbhodha Shai, Kshirodaka Shai, and Sesha. These five preliminary portions are responsible for both the spiritual and material cosmic manifestations. In these five forms, Lord Balaram assists Lord Krishna in his activities. The first four of these forms are responsible for the cosmic manifestations, whereas Sesha is responsible for personal service to the Lord. Sesha is called Ananta, or unlimited, because he assists the personality of Godhead in his unlimited expansions by performing an unlimited variety of services. Sri Balaram is the servant or Godhead who serves Lord Krishna in all affairs of existence and knowledge. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is the same servant or Godhead, Balaram, performs the same service to Lord Gauranga by constant association. So here we see is that when they're describing Nityananda Prabhu, then they're not making a distinction between him and Balaram, like this. And therefore, any of the expansions of Balaram. It's an important thing to know because the same principle applies with Krishna. Krishna expands, but we don't really make the distinction between him and the others except for the mood. Mood is different, therefore, then we say it's a different form. But actually, we don't make so much distinction. Otherwise, if you make so much distinction, you will not actually recognize Krishna. Right? Many times it's thought, I will recognize because I only focus on Krishna. Yes, but if you make so much of a distinction between him and his other forms, you won't actually be able to recognize. Just like a mother who can only recognize the child in the house, sitting on her lap, eating food from her hand, but if he's doing something else, playing with his friends, talking to his father, going to school, she can't recognize him. Right? That's actually what you're dealing with. Right? That's why we don't really have that much good to say about the sahajyas, who they think they are so absorbed in rasa, when they wouldn't know what rasa is if it came up, slapped them in the face. Right? Rasa is that affection for a person and that exchange that is there. So this element then means that it expands through everything. And since Krishna is everything, it expands through everything. Now you may have your favorites, right? Someone likes colors, but they have their favorite colors. They like food, they have their favorite food. But if someone says, I only like this preparation in food, I don't like anything else, you will not consider them a connoisseur of food. Right? You won't say, oh, he's very chaste, you know, to his, you know, whatever it is, his Limburger cheese sandwich. But you can't say that that is a connoisseur. Right? So these are very, very important elements to understand the broadness of it. So therefore, Balaram, technically speaking, is everything other than Krishna in, how you say, Vrindavan. Any other form that technically we can say by tattva, but in rasa, it's not necessarily the fullest explanation. That Krishna is the enjoyer, Balaram is his first expansion. But in this first expansion, he's actually servant to Godhead. He serves his brother, right? And he serves out of affection. Right? That's the essential principle. One may say, oh, Nityananda, so why all this technical stuff? But what is this technical? This technical stuff is Balaram's affection for Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? That's why the line between Vaidhi and Rag or Tattva and Rasa is not really very great. Right? People may try to make it that way. But the point is why is he doing it? Isn't that what's important? Why someone does something? Right? Someone does an activity. And if that activity is being done for someone else's happiness, it's considered good. If they're doing it for their own happiness, it's considered bad. Right? Same activity. So Balaram is expanding to all the manifestations of the whole cosmic creation, and he's doing that to please Krishna, then it's a nice thing. We're dealing here with rasa, right? The details of the expansion, that's tattva, but why it's going on, that's rasa, right? Balaram loves Krishna, And so he makes all the arrangements. It says here he serves him as existence and knowledge. So that means in the Sandini and the Sambit positions. Right? He is the one who expands. He is who expands the Dham. He is who expands all the existence, all the different forms, all the different situations. Right? As Sesha, all the paraphernalia that Krishna directly uses himself that actually touches Krishna. So if you think about it, what else is left? Right? What's left is the Vladini, which means the devotees who interact with him in those situations. But the situation itself and all the paraphernalia of that situation, that's all Balaram. Right? Does that make sense? That's the whole point. So that's basically everything. Right? Now, the focus of that is how Krishna can enjoy with his internal potency. Right? So here the brother is making all these arrangements. He's not worried about his own happiness, right? That goes on. He's Godhead, you know, he's got that under control. But what's important for him is the happiness of his brother. So there's never a position where we are Lord and only the enjoyer. It doesn't exist. It's a figment of our imagination. We make it up here. Sounds great. You know, I'm the Lord, I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer. Sounds nice. Everyone likes it. But in reality, here, the personality of servant or Godhead doesn't do like that. And he's everything, right? So whatever you consider yours is his. Your body is expanding from the material energy, your mind, your intelligence, and that's all coming from Sesha. Or Garbhodashayi here is being controlled by Karanapishayi. Excuse me, Kirodakshayi. Right? They're controlling it all. You want something, they get it done for you. So he's doing everything, not only for his brother, he's doing everything for you. Right? Right? There's nothing we can do on our own. He's doing everything. Doing everything. So what is that? So then that leaves that basically all there is in reality is relationship. And of that, relationship with Krishna. That's the most important. That relationship with Krishna, that is what is very, very special. Right? So Nityananda Prabhu, he takes care of all that. Just as Balaram does everything for Krishna, Nityananda does everything for Lord Chaitanya. Right? So it's the same principle. Right? So all aspects of the cosmic, when he says cosmic manifestations, that means as Mahasankarshan, that from there expands all other forms in the Vaikuntha planet, in the spiritual world. The whole expansion of the spiritual world, all the paraphernalia of the spiritual world, actually even all the form of the spiritual world. Then you have Karanadakshay Garbhadoshayi and Kshirabdishayi. Then they manifest whatever is in this world. Right? So that means now Mahashankarshan is the whole spiritual creation. The Purusha avatar is the whole material creation. And Sesha is the one who creates all the paraphernalia for when Krishna performs his pastimes here. Those pastimes here are actually non-different from there. If we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see that Prabhupada the Acharyas do not make any distinction between Goloka and Gokula. In fact, generally in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vrindavan in what we call Goloka Vrindavan is called Gokul. Right? We make a difference here, the Boma Lila, then we call that Gokul, that's Goloka, but they don't make any difference. As the Prabhupada uses the word facsimile. So it's exactly the same. There's no difference. And so in there, before Lord performs his pastimes. The Balaram takes care of both of those. He takes care of everything that's in there. So he expands into everything. He makes everything work. He makes it all pulls together. Yoga Maya works within that category. So all this, and we see the Sankarshan from there, we also get the element of Shiva. Then we get the element of Yoga Maya. So we see there's a connection there between Yoga Maya and Sankarshan. So in relationship, it's a little distant here. Right? As far as pastimes go, it's distant. Does that make sense? So basically speaking, then Nityananda Prabhu, by his grace, then everything is happening. In other words, this dham that we're sitting in, all the facilities that one has for devotional service, the knowledge one has for devotional service, the ability to understand your relationship with Krishna, and understand that you're a servant of Krishna, to be able to give up one's material intent. This is all by the grace of Nityananda Prabhu. Right? It's all happening by him. By his grace, then, this going on, we can get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And with that, then you can develop love for Krishna. Right? So the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu is very, very important. But he takes very much of a secondary role, a side role. It's just his nature, because that's what he does. He's hidden, right? He takes care of everything. But, you know, he does it so perfectly. He's not worried about being recognized. Because one, his brother knows what he does. And two, is, you know, it's just the nature of relationship. Okay. Any questions on this? Anything else? Yes. How do we get the? How do we get the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu? Well, it's said that by getting the mercy of Advaitacharya, then you can get the mercy of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. Because Advaitacharya represents, he's Karanabdishayi Vishnu. So that means for us, means as that aspect for, but practically for us, it means then he's taking his Sarashivas, means false ego. So as one gives up this false identity, then one is able to actually appreciate service to Krishna. Right. Does that make sense? So, and we see Nityananda Prabhu is very happy if one is serving Lord Chaitanya, one is doing those things. In other words, it's not just a static, or it's just not just a line of events. They're interactive events. Does that make sense? Generally we say, you know, you do A, then that gives you B, then you get C. But the point is A, B, and C are all connected to each other. So you get different levels. When that surrender is there to Lord Chaitanya, one is chanting the holy name, one is trying to preach, especially the preaching, Nityananda Prabhu is very happy. From that, then that will give you realization. As we said, as he is the he is taking care of the Samvit and the Sandini aspects. Right? So that means Samvit will be your knowledge and activities. So if knowledge is about Krishna, activities are about Krishna, then if that's mixed with the Hladini or Bhakti, you know, Hladini potency, that becomes Bhakti. Then the Sandini, which he's also the Lord of, you'll get realization. Right? That realization will then make you do more service, take you deeper. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, basically speaking, if one is living in the Dham, because that's his potency, Balaram, Nityananda Prabhu's potency is the Dham, so if we're in the Dham, serving the Dham, doing something for the benefit of the Dham, then that's very pleasing to him. We're chanting, we're distributing the holy name, because Lord Nityananda, he's the one who's like, you know, organizing the Nam Hatha. So then this Nam Hatha is the method of distributing the holy name. Right? You have so many persons who are therefore distributing in some way or shape or another, and he's very happy with that. He is the one who, was given the task of preaching in Bengal. Right? Lord Chaitanya went out, he preached around India, but Nityananda was left with Bengal. So being kind to others, being merciful, trying to extend that Krishna consciousness, these are all things that Nityananda is very happy with. He's mentioned as one of the three most merciful persons in the universe. So there's Nityananda Prabhu, his name Vasudev Datta, and Upadichara Vasu. So these three persons would give mercy to persons that seemingly didn't deserve it. In other words, here is those who would insult them, they would still be kind. Right? Jagai Mata insulted him, but still he was praying to Lord Chaitanya for their upliftment. Right? Vasudev Datta then was, prayed that let everybody in the universe go back to Godhead and he'll take on all their sins. Right? It means he didn't do any of that. It's not his. It's their sins. They did the sins. They're the nonsense. Right? But he doesn't see like that. The souls are eternal parts and parcels of Krishna, and they happen to be in illusory condition. So if the illusory condition is illusory, that means it's illusory. You know what I'm saying? I can't make it into substance when it politically pleases me. You know what I'm saying? If Maya is Maya, it's Maya. And that someone's in it is Maya. But being there, it has no substance. You know what I'm saying? You can't say he's in Maya and then give substance to Maya. Does that make sense? Oh, they have done this, that's abominable, they can never be forgiven. But that means then you're saying Maya has substance over the holy name. Right? Over the holy name. Just on that, since we've touched on that. It's a very nice part of the purport in the next two verses later, in 14. Prabhupada says, the disease of the modern civilized man is his disbelief of everything in the revealed scriptures. Faithless non-believers cannot make progress in spiritual realization, for they cannot understand the spiritual potency. The small fruit of a banyan contains hundreds of seeds, and in each seed is the potency to produce another banyan tree with the potency to produce millions more of such fruits. This law of nature is visible before us, although how it works is beyond our understanding. This is but an insignificant example of the potency of Godhead. There are many similar phenomena. The perfect knowledge propounding the revealed scriptures is confirmed by the great acharyas, who have left ample commentations upon them. None of these acharyas has disbelieved in the shastras. One who disbelieves in the shastras is an atheist. We should not consult an atheist, however great he may be. A staunch believer in the shastras, with all their diversities, is the right person from whom to gather real knowledge. Such knowledge may be inconceivable. Okay. Does that make sense? So, in other words, Nityananda Prabhu is seeing beyond all these important social considerations. Because, yes, socially, Jagai Madai have a problem. And it's not that he's saying, no, they're cool, be liberal, let them hang out with your daughter and, bring them into your house and do all that kind of stuff. They're not saying that. He's saying that spiritually they should be able to be engaged. They should be able to chant, be fully absorbed in spiritual devotional activities that completely engage them. Right? And he's not making the mistake also that spiritual activities are a prestige. Right? Means if you want to say that, then who can say they have the right to chant Hare Krishna? What was your qualification wallowing in the gutter that Prabhupada picked you up from that made you qualified to take up devotional service? Right? Previously, Mahaprasad was given to nobody. Nobody got it. Lord Vishnu ate his food. That was it. Nobody got the remnants. One time, Narad Muni got some remnants. And he was so ecstatic. And Lord Shiva, seeing him, he asked, what's going on here? Why are you so ecstatic? So he said, because I got the remnants of Lord Vishnu. And Lord Shiva said, you're my brother. Did you bring some for me? And I was like that. He says, no, but I'll try to arrange. So he went to Lakshmiji and asked her, you please give me some Mahaprasad for Lord Shiva. And then she says, well, the rule, nobody gets, but I'll see what I can do. So she went very sheepishly before the Lord, and asking the Lord, what's going on? Then she came there and then said, "My Lord, you know, I have a request, though I know I'm not in a position to ask, but, you know, this is my request." So he said, "What is that?" And he said, that we can have some, Mahaprasad, your remnants, for Lord Shiva. He says, "Oh, you can give that even without asking me." So then some was given to Lakshmiji. She gave it to, Narad Muni, who gave it to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is dancing in ecstasy. Having taken that in his dance, because we know his dance is called the Tandava. So the Tandava dance is meant for destruction. So in his dance of ecstasy here, he's pushing down on the earth and push the earth down to Rasatal. Right? So that's quite a ways down in the hierarchy there. So then Bhumi Devi is starting to get a little upset, a little worried, because Shiva's not stopping his dancing. So she goes and Parvati, and from Parvati, you know, tells her the situation that, you know, he's destroying everything in his dancing, please save us. And so then Parvati goes to Shiva and stops his, you know, his ecstasy there, and says, "You know, what are you doing? You're breaking everything," like that. And he says, "Why are you breaking my meditation? This is not good." Like that, "I'm having so much ecstasy in, you know, like this and that," and she's, you know, everything's going fine up to now, right? So then she's saying, "Yes, this, that, but you can't do this and that." But he says, "You know, but so what's the cause of this?" And he says, "Because of Mahaprasad." Then things get a little out of hand now. Then it's kind of like, "Mahaprasad, where's my Mahaprasad?" Like that. "You got Mahaprasad? You didn't say Mahaprasad for me." Okay. Sound familiar, anybody? Okay. Then she gets really angry, and she says, "Okay, I'm going to do severe austerities so that Mahaprasad will be available to everybody." Right? And having said this, then Lord Vishnu came, and then he says, "What have you just said?" You know, like that. "As it is now, nobody gets. Now you're saying everybody will get." But because of her sincerity and austerities, then she's also known as Bimala Devi. In Puri, then every offering from Jagannath first goes to her, even before Shiva, right? Then everybody gets, right? So out of this one pastime, we get so many. Also this song, Narad Muni Bhajai Veena, comes out of this, like that. So it's all that. So we see is that this concept of mercy, we're so used to it. We swim in the ocean of mercy that we take it for granted. You know, as we mentioned before, we're reading here comfortably from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, right? The eternal associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took 7 years to find the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Right? We got him coming out our ears, right? You know what I'm saying? So the amount of mercy that we have is so great. And so that mercy then is by grace of Nityananda Prabhu. Because we should not consider, "Yes, I was a great jnani," right? Jnani means you want to know Krishna. That means you know God exists, you want to know him as a person and all that. How many people can say that? You can say, "I was very intelligent, I was very inquisitive, I really wanted to know what is going on, what's the absolute truth." So that's called a jigyasu, not a jnani. Right? So, what is the qualification? Right? So there, that's the point, is Nityananda's kindness is there. So therefore, if that's it, how many mistakes have been made by the living entity? Right? Jagai and Madai, of course, they're the best. They broke every rule that you could. So no one could say later on, "Well, this Vaishnav did this and it's outside, you know, we can't forgive him." No, Jagai and Madai, every rule that Manu mentions, every last one, that very meticulously, they broke every one, you know, sitting there. "Hey, Jagai, here's one we didn't do yet." You know, like, you know, so everything was broken. And they're forgiven. Why? Because spirit is more powerful than matter. That's why it says here, "The disease of modern civilized man is his disbelief in everything in the revealed scriptures." It says everything, not some things, everything. So that we could ever consider the power of the holy name as something equal to Maya. That means we're Zoroastrians. We're not Vaishnavas. Because Zoroaster considered that there is a personality of sin who is equally as powerful as God and who can work independently from God. So if we ever think that something that someone does is more powerful than the devotional service that they've ever done, that means you're not Vaishnav, you're a Zoroastrian. So we're just going by this point here. Because the scriptures don't speak that. The scriptures are kind. We worship Gaur-Nitai. So between them, everybody is saved. Lord Chaitanya was going to cut off the heads of Jagamadai. Then Nityananda Prabhu said no. But it's very strict. Therefore, now engage properly in devotional service. Not now you can't engage in devotional service. This is the difference. Right? This is devotional service. This is having faith in the power of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Faith in the holy name. If we don't have this, then that aspect where we don't believe this, we are atheists. Right? Those parts where we have the faith, we're devotees. But those parts we don't, we're atheists. It's an atheistic conception. That the holy name is, you know, has an equal, and that equal is called morality. Or economics, or justice. Right? So, that's what we have to be very, very careful about. So Nityananda Prabhu was showing this. He's going out with Hari Das Thakur and preaching to everybody. Going up to everybody, door to door, asking them, you please chant the holy name. And they would mock him. Ah, I'm not chanting this Hare Krishna. He'd say, thank you. Get out of here. He'd go into the bars. He'd go everywhere. Right? And he'd get everybody engaged. So that's the point, is everybody has to be engaged. But you have to find how to engage everybody. Right? Like that. How to see that everybody's fully absorbed, how they're nicely engaged. Right? Then we're following in the footsteps of Nittai. It's a different kind of liberality. This liberality is the liberality of the soul. In other words, he is Sankarshan, so he's not going to do something against the rules. Right? Sankarshan is who establishes the rules. Right? But within that, he's very liberal for the individual living entity. How to somehow or another connect them. Right? It means if you have someone who's very dear to you, even if they've done something wrong, you say, don't worry about what you've done wrong. Let's worry about how to get you, you know, properly situated. That's how you'll deal with anyone you have dear. If you haven't had that experience, you got a problem. And you got a serious problem. But if you've had this, you've ever had a situation where someone who's close to you has done something wrong and you've had the feeling, don't worry about that, then you do have a hope for being human. If you don't, you've got big problems. So in that, that's Nityananda. That is the devotional movement. Okay. Let's not worry about what's gone wrong. Let's worry about how to get it right. That means you start from what's wrong and what's created it. But the whole point is how to get you over that, how to get you beyond that, how to get you properly situated in devotional service. That's Nityananda. That's mercy. That's forgiveness. And anything else is basically atheism. Because this is our line. Right? This is our line. Is that okay? Does that make sense? Something else? Anything else? Yes? How can we develop this mentality? How do we develop? First, recognizing it's there. The recognizing, having faith in the devotional process, having faith that every living entity is a servant of Krishna, and recognizing our potency is that, okay, we are preaching, so therefore, as a Madhyama, we always will work with what will give the best result in the shortest time. Right? So we're practical in that way. Means, in other words, someone who, by dealing with them, they're going to create a lot of problem for everyone else. We have to be very careful. Those who will be able to be picked up much easier, then that's, we make that distinction. Just because of our ability and time. Uttamadikaris, they don't have to worry about that because they don't see the conditioned nature. So they deal directly with the soul and they respond that way. You know what I'm saying? Just like you may have an animal that's not very, doesn't identify with other people, is very, you know, shy or very reclusive. But someone who's very good with that particular kind of animal, really knows how to relate to them, can walk right up and interact with them, and everyone else is shocked. It says no one could go up and, you know, touch this animal. So the Uttamas just cut through. They can do that. But if one's not on that platform, then as a Madhyama, you make a distinction between those who have, you say this, they have faith in it, or at least they're willing to have faith in it, you deal with them. Those who are atheists and don't have faith in it, leave them for now. Give them prasad, all this, you know, more times later. They're around. We're everywhere. They're going to bump into us again. They're going to hear a Harinam party. They are going to see devotees and all that. At least in theory, that's what we're supposed to be doing. But, you know, they're going to, that, these things are there. You know, so then you can try later. But you deal with who is responding now because there is some faith. Because if there's something, you can work with it. Faithlessness is nothing to work with. So faithlessness is useless. So if anyone falls into the trap of faithlessness, it's not useful for them or anyone because they can't understand anything from that position. You just can't. Because everything's based on faith. And that faith is faith in Krishna. Does that make sense? Anything else? Yes.
Somebody on the material level, you can say it's good and bad. Or
good and bad, yes.
Between vice and virtue. So somebody wants to come on spiritual level, you ask
this. Okay, someone on the material platform sees between good and bad, vice and you know, piety, like that. So someone on the spiritual level, does he give this up? No, he doesn't. Because pious is what is more favorable, it's a more favorable platform for engaging in Krishna service. Impious is generally a less favorable. They're not always these things, but it's in general it'll be like that because Krishna made the rules. The rules are how to get you back to Godhead and how to engage your particular conditioned nature in the Lord's service. So whatever it is, like it mentioned here, the varieties of aspects of the Shastra, they get into everything. That's because everybody has that variety of conditioning. So from whatever position, from there you can be caught through the Shastra and then engaged in the Lord's service. So therefore you want to see what's right and wrong. So more important is what's favorable and what's unfavorable. But good and bad, no, that's good. That's maintained. But it's never seen as equal to the chanting of the holy name. Because if we're going to take it, if we want to look at it spiritually, what's good and bad, the principle remains, but our definition is it's connected to Krishna, it's good. It's not connected to Krishna, it's bad. And if we override that principle with materially good and bad, then someone should actually have their heart checked. Heart. You know, heart means their faith checked. I would say head check, but, you know, people might get insulted there. So you say heart check, and it's very hard to, how you say, it's very hard to intellectually spin doctor an emotional point. So therefore, get your heart checked. Right? Does that make sense? Because otherwise, then how do you compare them? You know what I'm saying? Unless you have a particular issue based on your own conditioning. And then even better than that is that moral position of good and bad that we're taking, is it based on Shastra or is it not based on Shastra? So insult to injury is not only do we compare the platform of pranamoy to anandamoy or material consideration of good and bad to the spiritual platform, but we even do it not in reference to Shastra from an atheistic point of view. So it's like doubly wrong. If someone was quoting Shastra, like I remember I was in one devotee's house. He was a nice devotee, but his wife, a very pious lady, I mean extremely pious, totally devoted, chaste, everything. How whatever the Shastra said, but she just couldn't relate to Krishna. You know, she says, I'm not worshipping Krishna, I worship Ram. Ram is moral. Krishna, he's out with the gopis, they're not his wives, he's immoral. How can I worship him? So she's so stuck on morality in that and religion that she can't worship Krishna. But she's coming from the Shastric point of view. So you could, through Shastra, convince her. But if someone's taking that position based on modern morality and modern religion, you can't convince them because they're atheists. They don't actually believe in God. Because God's an authority. If God says so, then why are you not taking it? No, you could take your own mind as more an authority than God. Atheist. Does that make sense? Heart check. 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 You know, it means it's just next to Slovenia, below Poland. They're still doing research whether they have them or not. But, especially over towards the west, Bohemia, like that. They're really not sure about those ones. Okay? Okay, so end here. Time's up. I hope. Dityananda Prabhu ki
jai.
Vintaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Samadita Bhaktivinoda ki
jai.
Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.